So good morning to everybody. This is the 10th and final session in a series of shiurim on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues, looking more be'ian at these issues. And for our last session on a snowy and cold Jerusalem morning, I picked a lively and warm topic. If you want to start dancing in the middle, then you can.
Just not near the water.
But just not near the water, and I'll leave the room if you wish. What? It's a schooler. For what? To get your kids married. Yeah, it's a schooler for the wedding that I'm going to this evening, that you're probably going to as well, that it should be okay and it should all work in the snow. So the topic for today, in case you haven't worked it out, is Hachnasas Kala. And Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with very many weddings, and we go to them, and they can sometimes become like a bit of a routine, you know, oh yeah, another wedding, another wedding, another wedding, and you go there, and you go, and you come back, and it's the same. And I think it's very important that we try to break out of that and see that there are many mitzvahs that are have to be done at a wedding, at a chasna, and they need a little bit of focus and preparation, and I'd like to talk about those today. The Rambam, in source number one, we've had this source before, and we will recognize it. This is probably the third or fourth time, but it's a very important key Bein Adam L'Chaveiro source. In Hilchas Abel there, at the beginning of Perek Yudalit, he says this, Mitzvah Sa'aseh Shel Divreihem, there is a rabbinic, positive mitzvah, and he gives the whole list of the chesed mitzvahs. Hachnasas Kala, we'll see in a second, Bikur Cholim, Nichum Aveilim, Hachnasas Orchim, etc. We've looked at many of those over the last few weeks, and he lists three relating to Hachnasas Kala. The Hachnis Hakala, literally to bring in the Kala, V'chein L'Sameach Hakala V'Hachasen, okay, to make the Kala and the Chasen happy. And note, interestingly, that he doesn't talk about Chasen V'Kala. He talks about Kala v'chosn, and the Rambam picks his words carefully. V'lis adam b'chol tarachehem, and to give them and to provide them with everything that they need in life. V'eilehem k'mus chassadim shebegufam, these are all chesed that you do with your person, with your body. She'eilehem shur, and there is no limit to the amount of chesed. V'afal pi shekol mitzvah te'eilem midivrehem, even though these are all rabbinic mitzvahs. As we said many times before, they are all included in the umbrella mitzvah of the Ahavta Kamocha. Anything that you'd like other people to do for you, you must do for other people as well. So the first thing just to stress is that the mitzvahs of Hachnasas Kala, these three mitzvahs, to bring in the Kala, and we're going to define that, to make the Kala happy, okay? Simchas Kala v'chosn, and we're going to define that too, and also to provide them with their wedding presents. These are all kiyumim of a mitzvah doraisa v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, which are themselves chiyuvim, obligations on a rabbinic level, which we talked about that structure before. Of course, there is the second chesed mitzvah as well, number two, v'amar rabbi chama bar chanina, ma'idich siv achrei Hashem elokeichem te'elechu, what does it mean when it says you have to follow God, you have to walk after God? Is it possible for a person to really connect with and walk after God? Who? Hashem is a burning fire. You can't get too close to it. You get burnt up and it's not tangible. Ella, rather, one of the key kiyumim in the mitzvahs of chesed is this mitzvah as well. The mitzvah of achrei Hashem elokeichem te'elechu v'halachta b'drachav. The mitzvah to copy God. Mahu chanun afatachan. Mahu rachum afatar rachum, etc. So, just to reiterate, in this last class, every chesed mitzvah that we do is a combination of these two Torah mitzvahs. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, when the focus is on the other person as a person. If I were in your shoes, I'd so appreciate if people did that for me. So then you're doing the mitzvah v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And also the mitzvah of, irrespective of whether I'm empathizing with you, I'm doing this to be more like God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, gives, and gives, and can only give. So I also want to be God-like, therefore I want to give. And of course, that Gemara there we see in Sota gives examples of where Hashem does all these different chesed, buries the dead with Moshe, he visits the sick with Avram, he becomes the Tzibarid with Yitzchak. Where does God do Hachnas Kala? So, a very famous Midrashim, exactly. Number three. So, focusing on the Vahalach Nebedracha for a second, Vayivan Hashem Elokim Esat Sela. So, God builds up the side of Adam, Ashelachak Min Adam, Leishan to a woman, Vayaviyeha El HaAdam. And this is really the key thing. He brought her to Adam. He didn't need to say that. Of course, the Lord brought her to Adam. He was not making her and then leaving her somewhere on the other side of the world. Of course, he brought her to Adam. And therefore, Chazal learns out from this idea that there was not just a creation of woman, but a presentation of the Kala. Have a look at number four, Avos Rabbi Nosson. Amar Lahem. So, Rabbi Nosson said to his students, Banai, Imdu Ve'itasku Bekala. Make sure you get up and involve yourself with the Kala, with Hachnasas Kala. Shekein Matzina La'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shenitatek Bekala. We see Hashem is involved in Hachnasas Kala. Shenemar, Vayiven Hashem is Atzela. Hashem built up, he built this rib, the side of Adam. Hu Nitatek Bekala, if HaKodesh Baruch Hu thinks it's important enough to get involved in this, Anu Alachas Kama Bekama. Vayiven Matzina La'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nitatek Bekala. Where do we find specifically that Hashem involved himself with Hachnasas Kala? Shenemar, Vayiven Hashem is Atzela. Hashem didn't just create Chava, but he was metakin her. He made her up. He prepared her. Okay? V'kashtechakala, and he gave her kishutim. He dressed her up. He gave her makeup, or whatever the equivalent is, and jewelry, whatever. It meant he created her, on a midrashic level at least, as a kala. V'havi'er etzel adam, and then he brought her into Adam, sh'ne'emar v'yivel adam. So you have here a process of chesed being done by Hashem to Adam, of not just sort of plopping this woman down saying, oh, here, you wanted a mate? Okay, try this one. That's not what happened. There was a whole preparation that went into it. A whole presentation to stress the chashivas of the mate, of the matching of the man and the woman. It's not just something that happens randomly or casually, or at least it shouldn't. It's something that happens with a lot of preparation and of forethought, and a lot of chesed. In fact, Rashi brings on Ksubas a very interesting fact. When we stand at the chuppah, the guests at the chuppah are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're next to the chuppah, think about this. Have a look here. He looks at the bracha that we make, Shehakol Bara Lichvadoi, the first of the Sheva brachas, apart from Brei Agafen, obviously under the chuppah, Shehakol Bara Lichvadoi. What does it mean? Why do we say that bracha? What's that got to do with Chasson and Kala? All of the other brachas have got something to do with Adam and Chava and Chasson and Kala. This bracha seems a little bit unusual. So Rashi explains, Eino min ha-seder. This is not really one of the order of the brachas of the Sheva brachas. El el ha-sifas ha-am. This is really made on the gathering, on the wedding gathering. Okay? Ha-nezafim sham, which are gathered there, ligmo chesed. They are there to do chesed. The people are there to give chesed. Zeche lechaste hamokam. As a zeche, as a remembrance of the chesed of Hashem. Shenag im Adam, which he did with Adam Arishan. Shenasel loy shushvim, that Hashem became like a shushvim, like a shadchen for Adam. V'nit asik boy, and he was involved in that. V'asifa zu. And this gathering of people, kvoid hamokam he, is an honor for Hashem. That we the people standing at the wedding at the chuppah, are about to embark on this incredible evening of chesed. We're going to give them presents, and we're going to dance with them, and we're going to bring the kala in, we're going to do all these mitzvahs. Uvracha zu, lekach nitkana. And this bracha, she'akal bar alif padoi, was made as a bracha, baruch Hashem, a special bracha chazal made, on the gathering at a wedding. Umishas asifah hi ro'oy levarech, really we should make this bracha before the chuppah. We should really stand up at the chuppah, and the rav should stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the chuppah of David and Chana, whatever it is. We're all going to make a special bracha together to say, Baruch Hashem, we're all the chuppah, and let's all say the bracha, Baruch Hashem. We don't do that. We should do that. It's appropriate to do that. Ela mekiven sheyesh bracha ala kais, but since we're going to have a kais anyway, and we're going to be making brachas on the kais, it's kukul esidrala. They decided to connect the bracha that we should really make on the gathering with the brachas on the kais. Maybe to have a brikas besamim or brikas al ha'or, the moitzi shabbos. Just like we do with Havdalah, really the bracha on the besamim and the bracha on the candle got nothing to do with the Havdalah. The Havdalah is a kais yayin and the bracha of Havdalah. There's also a mitzvah to smell spices because it again revives us at the end of Shabbos. Nothing to do with Havdalah. There's also a mitzvah to take a bracha on fire for all sorts of other reasons. Nothing to do with Havdalah. It's to do with Motzei Shabbos. But since we're anyway going to be making a kais with brachas, we put all the brachas together and we make them together. That's how brukas ha, you know, mitzvahs work when it comes to a kais. And similarly, the wedding, even though this bracha is really on the guests, we put it together on the kais. Yeah. One and two are said by the same person to, yeah, because the question is whether Brei Pri HaGofen itself has a dinner like of one of the Sheva Brochas. So in order to give them the cover, you don't have to have them said by the same. This is a modern minhag that's come up over the last few years. I'm not sure that it used to be the case at all that people did that. But in order to, what's that? Well, it used to be the Rav did the whole, all the Sheva Brochas, correct. In fact, I've been beside a kiddushin at a wedding where I said all of the Sheva Brochas, correct. Though the Yekin, they still do, the Rav does everything. Now we give Kibbutim, but I think to give someone a, you know, Brei Pri HaGofen, which is not really one of the Sheva Brachas at all, so then we put the two together. As far as I'm aware, there may be other reasons as well, but that seems to be the minhag today. Okay, fine. I ran a wedding recently where I had to do everything. I had to do the Brikas Erusin and the Brikas Nisuin, and I had to give the Drosha, and I had to, I said, are you sure you don't need the Chosin as well? Because, once I'm here, I may as well do everything. But Baruch Hashem, they had a Chosin, and they didn't need me to do that. Yeah, right, correct. Absolutely. The fact that they were all on the case, we put all the Brachas together. Now, the Ramah, when he talks about the mitzvah, still this is more of an introduction to the mitzvah, he brings the Gemara, which we're going to see later. He says, "Mevatlin Talmud Torah v'hachnasas kala l'chuppah." We are mevatl Talmud Torah. It's a very big thing, because we don't normally do this. Normally the halacha with the mitzvah is, you know, if there's a mitzvah, somebody else can do the mitzvah, so we don't stop people from learning to say, well, you join in as well. If somebody else can do the mitzvah, so somebody else can do the mitzvah. People are learning Torah. Learning Torah is not something you interrupt, but for Hachnasas Kala, and we'll see Levi Sameis, you do. And the Bach explains in number 7, Perish, Afal Pisha Talmud Torah Kenegid Kulam, even though Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah, Kenegid Kulam, Afilo Hachi Mevaklin Torah LaHachnis, Kala l'chuppah. To bring a kala into the chuppah, this is worth shutting down the yeshiva for half a day. The loimi boy, the stam tamid chacham. The Bach says not only for any old normal tamid chacham, ela afilu le gadol sheva doira, even the gedolei hador. Ukda avid Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, just like Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli did later. We'll see later what he did with the kala. Or maybe raya mi zevel. And he brings a raya from Izevel. Interesting, we don't get a chance to mention Izevel much in Halacha, but here Izevel has her day. Harasha'a. Shenasa Shehaklavim, because it happened with her. Shehaklavim achlu, the dogs ate her body, the apopikain hishiru kapoisea. Nevertheless, her hands and her head, and we'll see later also her feet, were left over. Alma de mitzvah gedoylehi, and we bring this proof from Izevel that the Hachnasas Kala is such a big mitzvah that we even close down the yeshivas. We'll see that there are limits. How far are we going to go? If every yeshiva guy went to every wedding of all of his friends, there would be no Talmud Torah going on anymore. People would just be dancing the whole week. We'll see Rav Vosner later is going to be introducing a note of caution here. But in principle, we're Mevatl Talmud Torah. Just on the subject of Izevel, well, we mentioned her. I'm sure you're familiar with the Midrashic idea, but the Psukim are in 8 and 9. There was a Nevuah to Eliyahu Novi in number 8. Vayihi Dvar Hashem El Eliyahu HaTishbi Lemor. Kum Reid Likras Achav Melech Yisrael. Go down and see Achav, King Achav. Hashem B'Shamron. Hine B'Kerem Navot. Of course, you know exactly what Kerem Navot was. The whole story there, how he took the Kerem. Not getting into that now. Hashem Yarad Sham Lo'ishta. And he's gone to occupy this Kerem. He has a whole prophecy to tell him then about how he's going to die and it's going to be punished, etc. And also Izevel, the Gamli Izevel, Diber Hashem. And Eliyahu says also Izevel, God spoke about Izevel, Leimor, he said, Haklavim yochlu et Izevel b'chel Yisrael. The dogs will eat your wife, Izevel, in the Yisrael Valley, the Jezreel Valley. This was the prophecy. And indeed what happened in number 9, just to cut it short, Yehu came in, having taken over as the king in the northern kingdom, and Izevel was there watching him come in, and she said, are we friends or are we not friends? And he looked up and he shouted up to the Sarisim, and says, someone throw her out of the window. and they threw her out of the window. Evidently, I suppose that meant they weren't friends. They threw her out of the window, and the horses trampled her, and they left her body in the street. They all sat down for dinner, and then afterwards they said, let's bury her because she's a Bas Melech. Mizel, at the end of the day, is Choshava Bas Melech, even though she was perhaps the worst of the worst in Tanakh. And of course, when they went out, let's just pick it up at the end, in Lamed Hei, Vayechlu Lekavra, they went over to bury her. V'loy Matsuba Ki'im HaGolgoles, all they found was her head, V'haraglaim, and her feet, V'kapos HaYadaim, and her hands. V'yashuvu V'yagidu Loi, and they went back and they told Yehu V'yoma, and he said, ah, Dvar Hashem, who this is min Hashemayim, Ashidibru B'yad Avdo Eliyahu HaTishbi, Leimor, and he said, V'chelik Yisrael Yochlu HaKlavim Et Basar Izevel. And of course, that's what happened. The dogs ate her, but they didn't eat these little bits. Now, Eliyahu Navi never said anything about these bits. He said they'd eat the whole of her. But somehow or other, bits of her survived, and they were able to be buried. And if you look in number 10, the Yalkut Shmoni explains why. The Yalkut Shmoni says, Gmilut Chasadim Minayin Anu Lamedi, where do we learn the essence of Chesed? Amazing thing. Where do we learn Chesed from? Mizevel. We see real Chesed from Mizevel. Shehaisa based in Somoch L'Shuk, her palace was close to the shuk, to the market. For kol chasen shehaya over the shuk, every chasen that went past by the shuk, haisa yotza mitosh beisa, she'd go from the palace, umatzalzelis bekapi yadeh, she'd clap with her hands, or whether play the castanets, umakalefes bepia, and she'd sing with her mouth, umaleches eset tzadosh, and she'd run, she'd dance with the chasen, no, with the chasen, not with the kala, zizevel, you know? She's, they've no mechitzas in the palace there. And she's running down and dancing with the chasen. Nevertheless, this is considered to be a great schus for her. And they prophesied that she'd be eaten up by the dogs. However, those few parts of her body which were goim lechesed, her hands, her feet, her head, her mouth, the dogs had no power over, etc., etc. Yes. We'll see right now. So far we haven't emphasized anything, but we'll see the different emphases on different mitzvahs. So that's Izevel, and this really is an introduction to the mitzvah, the chashivas of the mitzvah, of Avat in Talmud Torah, and even Izevel had a schus, which is amazing that she could get a schus, looking at what she did the rest of her life, but even that was a schus for her. Now, what is the mitzvah? So we talked about the three aspects, lahachnis akala, simchas kala v'chosen, and also to being a wedding presents. But they also bring down the shidduch itself as part of the mitzvah. If you look here in number 11, Gemara in Brochas, the Yevel Adam, God brought Chava to Adam. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, said, Melamed she'nase kodesh baruch hu shushvin. Hashem made himself into a shushvin la'adam arishim. What's a shushvin? Like an escort, like the ushers and the people who organize the wedding, the wedding planner, I suppose today is one of the shushvinim, the people who are mitasek in making sure the whole wedding goes. Says Rashi, what is a shushvin? Mishtadel. Mishtadlan is someone who's involved bechupato ubezivugato ubezivugo, and the zivug, making the zivug, making the shidduch, that's all part of the mitzvah. Making shidduchim is therefore an incredibly powerful mitzvah, an incredibly difficult mitzvah. My wife and I made a shidduch relatively easily about 12 years ago, and we thought, well, I don't know what everyone's making a fuss about. This is not so hard. And it was Baruch Hashem very successful. They got a family. It was wonderful. Two older people. It was great. It was wonderful. And since then, we've been trying and trying and trying. My wife tries very, very hard. Look, she tries, and she's not yet made another one yet, but we're still working on it, and hopefully we will soon. But it is not a straightforward business, as you well know. Now, the three mitzvahs that the Rambam said, let's deal with them in each in turn. Have a look in number 12. Tan Rabban, Mavakel in Talmud Torah. Here is the mitzvah in Megillah itself. We cancel Talmud Torah, Lahoitzas Mace, to bring out the mace, Ulahachnasas Kala, and to bring in the Kala, says Rashi, Lahachnas Kala, little voice to accompany her, Mibesa Viha, from her father's house, Lebeis Chupasa, to her Chupah. Seems the mitzvah is you're meant to walk with the Kala to the Chupah from her father's house. Now, these days, that doesn't happen in quite this way. Although, there are some communities in which it does. Apparently, someone told me in Morocco, the minhag was very much that the whole town went to the Kala's
to the father's house, the parents' house, and they'd walk with her to the Beis Chuppah, to the husband's house, or to the chuppah where they were having the chuppah, etc. Today we don't tend to do this. So how are we mekayim this mitzvah today? So already the Beis Shmuel and the Mefarshim of Shulchan Aruch is trying to work out how we do this today. Number 13. Because of the Prisha, and the Prisha brings an earlier authority on the Shulchan Aruch, the Perish Rashi Achnasas Kala, the Vosimi Beis Avia, the Beis Chuppah. According to Rashi, it seems we meant to be accompanying her into her father's, into the chuppah. So it seems that what we should be doing is we should be walking with the kala when they bring her towards the chuppah, like we do with the chasen. Adarabba, on the contrary, it's actually more important. Now everybody now walks with the chasen to the bedekin. And that's beautiful, but that's not the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to bring in the chosen, there's a mitzvah to bring in the kala. And he says, now we seem to do it the wrong way round. The nitzah masha holchim bizmanenu kalakala lechzois roish hakala. This is already a very ancient minhag. Everyone walks with the chosen to cover over the kala with the veil. He nikra hachnasas kala lechupa. It seems that maybe that's the best we can do to hachnasas kala lechupa. The hataz chosen, the taz writes, it doesn't seem bedekin is the chuppah, although there are shittas that bedekin is part of chuppah, which is why you need aidin for bedekin as well. It's just a preparation for the chuppah. It's going to be after the bedekin. That's the end of the chuppah. The ein holchim, the end of the process rather, the chuppah is at the end. The ein holchim, ela lalvois hachasen. Really what you're doing is you're just walking the chasen in. The loyla lalvois is a kala, not the kala. Shisham kala nashim holchim, because all the women, you see, it's very interesting, the way we do it today is very similar to the way they did it then. All the women are hanging around at the kala, you know, whatever, they with the chair and all the whole big business. Ima, the ein litharim shami mahem. What are the men going to do? Start mixing all with the women? I have a big problem, you should know personally, at these chasanas, because almost all of the people that I teach are women. And the young girls, and they get married, and I go to the chasana, and all the people I want to schmooze with are all on the women's side of the chuppah, of the mechitza. And all the men are very nice, I can talk to the men, but you know, how much can you talk to people? I don't know them, and they don't know me. But all the people I know are on the other side. I kind of sneak into the women's side of the chuppah, until some little old lady throws me out, okay? And then she throws me out. But at the beginning, you'll see me lurking around the women's section, that's because all the people that I know are over there on that side of the chuppah. Okay, Vera'isi, and he brings at the end, Biksas Mekoimus. I've actually seen in other places, he doesn't really like this business of the bedekin being the hachnis hakal. Of course, the bedekin is good, you walk with the chosen, but that's not this mitzvah. Vera'isi, Biksas Mekoimus, Anoshim Chashuvim, I've seen Choshuva people, Holchim Likras Hakala. When the kala's coming in, they walk towards the kala to meet her. When they get close to her, and they walk with her a little bit to the chuppah, the nachon, he says, that's very nice. And I think this could be what we do today, where we have this whole processional with the little kids throwing the petals and all that stuff, you know, all the sweet little kids in their wedding dresses, and they have people walking in front of the kala. I think this is a modern expression of the idea of lahachnet hakala, to bring... Well, you see, I'm not sure. There may be aspects of that from non-Jewish weddings, but that we also have a mitzvah to kind of bring in the bride with great, you know, ceremony. That's part of our mitzvah as well. Maybe, but not everything the non-Jews have thought of as baffing. And it could be that this is the way we express it today. Also, this business of throwing rice, that also has Jewish origins. That has Jewish origins. Yes. Maybe not rice, but maybe other things. Yes, good, yes. And they have the guy playing the drum. Da, 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 da. Yeah, that, because the Kaleb. That's mamash the mitzvah. Also, we'll see that fundamental to this whole business of dancing was Ketzev Meraglim Lifnei HaKala. The idea of the guys dancing in front of the bride is really fundamental to the mitzvahs as they were done, and we'll see from the Gemara. We'll see. That's good. Now, part of the mitzvah, apart from hachnasas to bring in physically, is just being at the mitzvah, being at the wedding. How many people need to be there in order to say, oh, it's enough already, it's enough? So look at number 14. So if you look in the Me'iri addresses this question. He says, There's no mention, he says, Mavaklin Talmud Torah, but like how much? You cancel the whole town? Cancel the whole country? We all go to the Chasna? He doesn't say how much. Elokol Habal Hashem, but really it seems that everyone that goes there, Zoycha, gets a merit. Shekalsha Hu Lechavavav, because anyone who goes to increase the excitement of the Kala, Kalsha, even a little bit, okay, Rabbi Myosa, Hasimcha Muhuderis for Myosa, the more, the merrier. I think it's literally what the Meiri is saying, that the more people who are there, the more exciting the atmosphere becomes. And the Shitta Mekubetzes comes in number 15 and says, V'yesh Omrim de Legabe Kala, when it comes to Kala, Ein La Shi'ur. When it comes to a Levaya, the Gemara discusses Shiurim, how many people need to go, what kind of person is being buried, how Choshev is the person, who needs to go, who doesn't need to go. When it comes to Kala, they don't seem to mention any limits. It says, Ola Oilem Mevaklin, it seems that everybody stops learning. Because the more people, the more excitement and the more honor for the Kala and Chosen. And the more Simcha, the more excitement. The Daik Hacha, and he brings a diuk also from the Psukim there, from the Gemara there rather, that seems it's the more the people that come, the better it'll be. Now, of course, we looked at the first year at the practical limits of Chesed. Even though the Rambam said, and the Mishnah said, Ein la shi'ur, you know, there's no limits to the mitzvah of Chesed, and the Rambam reiterates that. However, that's only when it comes to a person not making themselves poor. We saw in the first year that the practical limit of Chesed is lo yibcha evyoin. There's no, it's not lo yibcha evyoin. Efes lo yibcha evyoin. They will not be, must not be a poor person amongst you. So the Gemara took that pasuk and said it's not a promise that there'll never be poor people. Because it says lo yechdal evyoin min haaretz. There'll always be poor people, don't worry. There'll always be someone to give stocker to. So what does it mean that there shouldn't be a poor person amongst you? So Chazal understand that this is a mitzvah, it's a halacha not to make yourself poor. Financially, psychologically, emotionally, whatever it is, and therefore there are limits. At a person, at a point in a person feels that doing this chesed is actually beginning to cost them in a real way, not just financially, but also in terms of their family life, etc. We talked about this at length on the first year. That is a practical limit on the mitzvah of chesed too, and that will apply here as well. There's only so many weddings you can go to without it beginning to kick in and affect your life and even your livelihood. And certainly, when it comes to the guys in yeshiva, we'll talk about that soon. This business of people standing up for the kala. So I once went to a wedding where a Talmud Chacham, very serious guy, when everyone stood up for the kala, he insisted on sitting down. And he didn't stand up. And he said to me, this is a minag from the non-Jews, that they stand up when the kala comes in, and it's a goisha thing, and I'm not doing it. So at the time I felt it was not entirely appropriate, that everyone's standing up and he's sitting down, dafka, to make a point. But actually, I think he's anyway wrong. Because there is a Jewish idea to stand up in front of somebody who is about to do a mitzvah. And if you look here in number 16, there's a Mishnah in Bikurim. When the Jews came with their first fruits from all over Eretz Yisrael. So it says, the Hagizbarim Yotzim Likrasam, the temple treasurers would come out of Yerushalayim to welcome them in, these people, because it was a big ceremony. They'd come with animals laden with their fruits and with all their bikurim, etc. Lefi kovod hanichnasim, kvod hanichnasim, according to how important the people were coming in, hayu yoytzim, then according to that, people would go out. V'kol balei umne yoytzim Yerushalayim, and all of the workers of Yerushalayim, oimdim lifneihem, would stand up in front of them as they came past. The Shailim B'Shloimam would say, hey guys, how you doing? How are you? Welcome. Achenu Anshe Hamokam Ploini. The welcome to the people from Hebron, welcome to the people from Afula, wherever it was. Okay? Batam B'Shalom. In other words, this was a beautiful ceremony where everyone had to stand up as these people, as these farmers came into Yerushalayim with their animals and their fruits and greet them and extend greetings towards them. Says the Batam B'Shalom. The Abba gab the Ein Balium Noyos Chayavim Lamod Lifnei Mitnei Talmidei Chachamim. Even though in the halacha of standing up for a Talmid Chacham, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, we see a special exception. People who are workers, who are going to cost them money to stand up and take time off and come out, and the boss is going to say, hey, where are you going? You've got work to do. They're exempt from doing that. She'oizkim v'balachtam, while they're actually doing their work. So that they won't lose their money. There's a special exemption when it comes to standing up for Talmid Chacham. Nevertheless, but they still have to stand up for the people bringing Bikurim. Why? the chaviva mitzvah b'sha'asam, because someone who's doing a mitzvah right here, right now, that's an amazingly special thing.
For this reason,
when somebody brings a coffin, la'aleinu, you have to stand up in front of it, because these people are, not just because of chavah to the mace, but because these people are oisik b'mitzvah, b'faneinu. These people are doing an incredible chesed shel emes in front of us. Shehameis ba, the mace is coming. Umifnei noseh hatinuk and la'avdil, when they bring in the baby, lebris mila, and someone shouts kvasa, and everybody stands up, that's not stam. Everyone has to stand up. Because you're bringing in a baby and there's going to be a mitzvah done right here, right now, that's something you stand up for. Even people who are exempt from other mitzvahs standing up for Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore when the bride comes in and the chosan comes in, it seems poshut to me that to stand up for them is an obligation, because they're about to do an incredible mitzvah of engaging themselves together, connecting themselves together to do the mitzvah puruvu. There's a big, by the way, discussion, I'm not getting into it today, is the wedding itself a mitzvah, or is the wedding a hechsha mitzvah to puruvu? Is the wedding just the way that they, if you like, get themselves, you know, able to do the mitzvah puruvu, or is the wedding itself part of the mitzvah? That's a whole long discussion which I'm not getting into today. Yes. Well, isn't that all part of it? I mean, the chosan is a melech. The question is he a chosan yet? Is he a chosan? When does he become a chosan? On his way to the chuppah, he's a chosan. Yeah, is he a chosan when he makes the... Okay, it could be. Chosan doimel a melech. By the way, it doesn't say anyway that the kala is like a malka. He's like a melech, and because she's married to him, then she's like a malka. But also, it's an interesting question. That she, I don't know, maybe. My understanding is it's more halachic based in the issue of people coming in to do a mitzvah. Now, let's talk about the simcha. Yes. So, you know, it's interesting. When it comes to making Kiddush, there are different things, without getting into the whole discussion now, there are different things pulling in different ways. On the one hand, there's the Eidos of Aichul HaShemayim Va'aretz, so you stand to give Eidos, you don't sit on the chair to give away when you give testimony. On the other hand, there's the concept of Kiddush B'mochan Suda. Kiddush should really be made in a context of sitting down for a meal. That's why in the morning, many people sit down for Kiddush. There's no Vayichulu. And in Shalom Aleichem, some people want to stand. Why are they standing? Are they standing for the Malachim? Some people don't even say Shalom Aleichem. Not everybody says Shalom Aleichem. And some people even have a Hashkafic problem with Shalom Aleichem. And I know that there are people who sing Shalom Aleichem, but not the third stands up Shalom Aleichem, because they'll say hello to the Malachim and goodbye to the Malachim, but they won't ask the Malachim to give them a bracha, Baruchuni L'Shalom, because then they're in danger of being a heretic according to the Rambam's fifth Ikka. Yeah. The Rambam's Ikra Yadas, he says if you ask Malachim to give you a bracha, then you're a heretic. So rather than being Afikairos, I'll miss it out. Now, and even people who say it, many people say the little posuk afterwards, etc., to make it clear that they're not chas v'chalila asking Malachim for things. Shalom Aleichem has its own problems. So before we worry about Shalom Aleichem, people are standing for Shalom Aleichem. I don't know why people are standing. It's not part of Kiddush. Why are people standing for Shalom Aleichem? I don't know. We all sit down for Shalom Aleichem. So somebody's asking, standing for the brachas of the chuppah. I don't know about anybody else, but when I was growing up and over chuppah I went to Chutz La'aretz, everybody stands for the brachas of the chuppah. In England, they just sit down for the brachas of the chuppah. Everybody, in fact, they say, "Will the congregation please be upstanding?" And everybody stands. And I don't know, different minhagim. When I was growing up, only the great grandmothers and the great grandfathers sitting on the front there. They had the seats, and everybody else stood up for a brocha. But I'm not sure. Today, everyone does what they want in Israeli chuppahs. They talk. They're on their phones. They're on the stock market. Who knows what they're doing at the chuppah? Okay, fine. 17. Let's go. The mitzvah of simcha, the chuppah, is a fascinating one. And we'll see, a lady asked over there, which is the focus on more on the chosan or the kala. We'll see very much the focus of the simcha is on the kala. Because even the chosan has a mitzvah to be mesameach the kala. She doesn't have a mitzvah to be mesameach him. Have a look here, number 17. Pasuk in the Torah. Nothing to do with chasna per se, but it's to do with marriage. Ki yikach ish isha. When a man gets married, chadasha, a new wife, lo yeitzeh betzavah. He shouldn't go out to the army. V'lo yavor alav l'chol davar. He shouldn't be asked for any, to come up to do any other duty. Naki yelevesa, he has to be free, available for his household, for his wife. Shana echas, 1 year. This is the origin of shana. Shana, it's a posuk in the Torah, kosher thing. V'simach es ishtoi, he has to be mesameach, his wife, asher lakach, whom he married. So you see the focus very much is on her being the recipient of the simcha, and that's probably one of the reasons why the Rambam phrases it lesameach hakala v'hachosen, even though the Shulchan Aruch puts it back to chosen v'kala, but the Rambam says kala v'chosen. And in fact, we see in the halacha that the very much says that the halacha is focused on making sure that the chosen is focused on making his kala happy. Look at number 18. Mifneima, says the Gemara in Ksubas, Amru almana niseis v'chamishi, that an almana, a widow, a person who is marrying for the second time, should get married on a Thursday, v'niveles b'shishi, and they should have their wedding night on Thursday going into Friday. Because if they get married on Wednesday and she has the wedding night on Thursday, on Wednesday night going into Thursday, lemachar, the next day, mashkim lumnasoi ba'olichla, then the next day I'll go to work. Because look, you know, it's Friday. So okay, there's no point going to work on Friday, it's Friday. But if already they get married on Thursday night, not the first, on Wednesday night, not the first marriage anyway, big simcha, I've got work to do, the people in the shop, I've got orders, you know, and she's going to be left all on her own on the day after her wedding. Chazal were very focused on this. Shachtu chachamim atakonos b'nos Yisrael. The chachamim were very concerned, were very eager to be there for the girls. For the women, sheyehei samech ima, that he should be happy with her, shalosha yamim, at least for 3 days. Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, and then, okay, on Sunday he'll go to work. But you see here, also, the reason I'm bringing this, is that the focus is on him to make her happy. And the question is, why? Well, why are we interested in creating him? Are they happy already? It's their wedding day. If they're not happy now, when are they going to be happy? On the contrary, they should have a mitzvah to make us happy. You know, we're not the ones getting married. They're the ones getting married. So the answer is, it seems, for many of the postgame, it seems very cautious, and Ryan Rosh Hashiva stressed this a lot, that they're happy, but they're nervous. Especially her. You know, you buy a new washing machine, it comes back with a warranty and a money back guarantee sometimes. You marry a guy who's no warranties. There's no money back, and it's a lot more money than a washing machine. But a lot less useful in some ways. But, only in some ways. So the point here is that she's nervous. Like, what's going to be? How do I know? I think it's the right decision. How do we know it's the right decision? And therefore, there is an incredible emphasis on creating an atmosphere of simcha, specifically on her, but also on him as well. I once went to a chasna. I thought the guy was going to jump out of a window. He was so nervous. We had to literally support him as he went to the chuppah, and the guy couldn't get the words out. The rabbi was saying, repeat after me, Hari At, and he was going, Hari Ata. He goes, no, Hari At, he was going, Hari Ata. And the poor guy, was like, I don't know which world he was in. But anyway, sometimes you have to be there for people. Now, let's have a look at how this is expressed in real terms. The Gemara in Brachos in number 19 says, Amar Rav Ashi, Igra de Beit Hilula. What is the schar for going to a Beit Hilula? And a Beit Hilula means a simcha, okay, a wedding. Mili is words. You get schar for the words. For example, it says with this, the Lailenu, the schar for a shiva house is silence, okay, because what you're meant to be doing in a shiva house is not saying anything, just being there. But at a wedding, it's words. Rashi says, what does it mean? Samecha chosam b'dvorim. You're meant to be saying things. You're meant to be proactive. You're not meant to be just sort of sitting there like a lemon. You're meant to be active and doing things. How does that work? Have a look, please, over the page. Let's go to source 21. One of the main emphases of a wedding is the idea of creating words, creating a kol. There has to be a kol. Have a look in number 21. I'm a Rabbi Chelboy. Amar Rav Huna, kol anenem is sudas chosin, ve'enem is samchai. If you go to a wedding and you eat the food, says the Gemara here in Brachos, and you're not mesameach the chosin, and you're not in the kali, you don't dance, you're not part of the simcha, oyvev v'chamisha kolis, you have broken five kolis, five voices, five sounds. What does this mean? Rashi says, mezalzel v'chamisha kolis, you have disgraced, you have shown that you're not interested in these five voices shebirach behem HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael, through which God blessed the Jewish people, shenemar kol sason v'kol simcha kol chosen v'kol kala v'kol aimrim haidu es Hashem tzevakos. The brachas, we were given these brachas of kailas, kol sason, kol simcha, kol chosen, kol kala, and you're sitting there eating the berekas. Believe me, it'll be berekas. Okay, and you're sitting there and you're eating the berekas and you're not dancing. That's not acceptable. Not acceptable. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go crazy and dance for the 45 minutes that they have an hour of all the young guys dancing. You know, you dance and then you know you can sit down with the old guys. I've already graduated to the outside ring of the dancing where you're just kind of going like this. I'm already doing this. So it's very relaxing. It's much more relaxing. Occasionally, you know, if I'm there with my son, he schleps me in the middle and I'm going crazy for 3 minutes and then back here, I'm back doing this again. But you, if you just eat the food, there's even an element of aveira. Oh, third line. V'im b'samchai. Correct. You have to be somehow involved. Okay, you have to be the sameach people. I'm not saying what you have to do first. But to just go there, grab a quick meal and, you know, a good meal to feed the kids and go home, that's not acceptable. There has to be an element. Sometimes, you know, you can't stay all night at a wedding. But if we go, the standard fare here, you know what happens? You go there, you go to the chuppah, and then nothing happens for an hour. And then you get some first course. And then after first course, then you have 50 minutes of dancing. And it's going to be 10:15 before the main course even comes out. So I'm sorry, I'm not waiting until 10:15 for the main course. And therefore, I say to my wife, we'll stay for the first course. We'll stay for 10 minutes of the dancing. We'll go home. I text her, meet me 10 minutes after the dancing starts outside. But I feel it's very, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying, but I feel it's important to not just to eat the first course and leave. You have to be part of the dancing, you know, give them all a hug and be part of that whole simcha. The im samchai, and if you do take part of the simcha, says the Gemara, maschara, what is the schar? Am Rav Yeshua ben Levi, zecha le teira, the schar is teira. Shenitna b'chamisha koilas, teira was also given in 5 koilas. Because it was the noise, the sound that you make at the chasna reverberates back for you in the world of Torah. Shnei Mar, Behiba Yom Hashlishi, Behiyah Haboker, Kevi Koilas, Ubrachim, etc. It talks about Har Sinai and the Koilas. So it links the 5 kolos of Kol Sason, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasna, Kol Kala with the kolos of Har Sinai and says if you're part of the Simcha, then you get the good Koilas, and if you avoid the Simcha, then you're just breaking the brachas. Now, in terms of what you're actually meant to be doing in this simcha, so we already talked about this source a little bit when we looked at Emes
Hasheker. Most of us in this room already go from parents and the grandparents.
But that's all possible.
Care less about us. Right.
Yeah, but yes and no. The simcha is generated the more people that are there. Can you imagine if the simcha was only just the kallah's friends and nobody else? I'm not sure if the kallah was only there and there were 25 people dancing around and there was nobody else. It's the other 85 people that are part of the family and the, or 185 or 385 or whatever it is. I think that everybody adds to the atmosphere. If it were just the chosans and the kallah's friends, the wedding would be there has to be a range of people. Everyone likes the grandparents and the this and the that. I think that you're right. The kallah's main focus is on her friends. But I think there's a lot of other stuff. I don't feel just redundant, I think, when you go to the wedding. I think... Correct. Also, that's also a chesed to make the parents happy, by the way. They bring that down specifically. They definitely bring it down. But that's not Haknas's kala. That's the after the rest of the Kamocha. If the kala is sensitive, so that should be part of that as well. Okay. Staying for the Sheva Brochas. I'm not sure. There's an issue if you make hamotzi already, see, it's all in different directions. If you make hamotzi and you sit down sitting for the guys, you can't just leave before the zimun. Because you're part of a meal, and then to leave before you make a zimun is not straightforward. Even to make a zimun of 3 is not straightforward. If you don't make hamotzi, of course you can leave, but then you're not part of the Seudas Mitzvah because you didn't make hamotzi. So it's very difficult to know, but most people who've got other things to do, for the men, for sure, for most people who've got other things to do with their lives can't wait till 11:30 for every wedding to make the Sheva Brochas. In fact, the Hefach, sometimes people have gone so much by the Sheva Brochas that all that's left by the Sheva Brochas is like a little circle of people people in the middle of the hall, the chassan and the kallah and his friends, and I don't think that's nice. The answer, of course, is to run the thing earlier, run it on time, and make sure that everyone's out of there by 10:30. It can be done. What's that? No, nothing I've mentioned so far is gender specific. Absolutely not. You have to relate it to Malcolm Vialach, the Brachava, mitzvahs on men and women without any gender differentiation whatsoever.
So what happened
with
discrimination?
What happened?
In
discrimination? What do you mean? The women go to the chasnas as well? You're asking. No. So I'm. That's a separate question. I didn't deal with that question directly on the sheet, although maybe I should have done. This is your issue of separation of weddings. This has been a machlokes within the Jewish people for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is not a new thing. Already in the time of the Bach writes that a wedding where the men and women are sitting mixed, forget about dancing mixed, obviously mixed dancing is clearly osa, according to all the poskim, there's nothing to talk about there. But even mixed seating, the Bach says a wedding which has mixed seating, you can't say Sheva Brochas, you can't say Sheva Simcha B'Me'oinoi, because the Yetzahara is dancing there in the middle of the crowd. And the Levush, I'm talking about 400 years ago in Krakow, and the Levush writes and says, no, I'm sorry, Amminag is to have mixed seating in the weddings, and we do say Shasim Chabimanoi. So even already 400 years ago, the people, there were different minhagim on this. I think very much the minhag of most of Klal Yisrael, apart from the Hasidim, was to follow the Levush and to have mixed weddings. The literature crowd, for sure, as far as I'm aware, always had mixed weddings until the last 30, 40 years. But the Hasidim, I think the Hasidish crowd always had separate weddings.
Do you see pictures, paintings that were done mixed?
Yeah, they were. Also. I must confess to you, I like to sit next to my wife at weddings, and I sometimes get the opportunity to do that. Next. Tana Rabbana, Keitzer Maragdim Lifnei Akala. Oh, how do you dance before the bride? And of course we've said, this is not about choreography, this is about the words, it's about mili, the schara is the words. Which means basically what you're saying is, how do you praise the bride? And we looked at this source in depth. Beishama, if you remember, say, you have to say how it is. You have to say something that's actually true, even if you have to change the subject. And Beit Hillel say, no way, you can't do that. You have to just lie. Because what the Chassan and Kala want here is not the truth. What they want is reaffirmation, and they want support, and they want to be told that they're beautiful and they're wonderful together, etc. And Beit Hillel say that is because of Shalom, because if you look in the Ritva, I brought you this source before in number 25, surely you should praise the Kala, says Beit Hillel, even if it's not true. Perish, whenever you have Darchis Shalom, Ein boy mishum mitzvah shekatircha. There's no Isra Midvash HaKatzirchag because of Darche Sholem, and indeed that's the Halacha, number 26, Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Beis Hillel, Mitzvah, Sameach Chasen V'Kala, there's a Mitzvah to make the Chasen V'Kala happy, Ularakeh, Hirkod Nifdeah, and to dance in front of her, okay, V'Loima, and to say Shehinai V'Chasuda, Afidu Einana, to say that she's beautiful even if she's not beautiful, and the Gemara gives examples of how they used to do this. Look at number 27. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came back from Israel, he said, Hachi Masharu Kameh Kalsa B'mar Rava. This is how they dance in front of the bride in the West, in Eretz Israel. They had a little song that they sang, whatever, however it went. Loi Kachal, you don't need eyeliner, or eye makeup, a loi Sarak, you don't need blusher and rouge. Loi Pirchus, you don't need makeup at all. Yasa Chen, you're beautiful as you are. In other words, the guys were singing songs to the Kala, saying, we don't sing Shekha Cheva Hevela Yofi at a wedding. That's not the right time or place. That's more of a Beis Shammai answer. You know, what do you think of my wife? Well, Shekha Achein Behevela Yofi. You know, Isha Yira Sasha. Great. That's not the correct answer, I don't think. But it's interesting that they used to do this and they used to sing that way. Number 28 is a fascinating source. Amar alav al Yehuda ben Eloi, bar Eloi. The Ramah already mentioned Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, the Godel Hador. They used to say about him, Shehayanoitel bat shal hadas. He'd take a little hadas, a little myrtle leaf, a branch, and he would dance like a shtick in front of the kala. This issue of what they call shtick today with all the stuff they do, this is not new. This is ancient. This is thousands and thousands of years old. The Jewish people have done these silly dances and dressed up like Bugs Bunny. Maybe not Bugs Bunny 2,000 years ago, but whatever they did, this is all really part of the mitzvah. This is part of the halacha.
Ba'amar, and he would sing in front of the Kala, Kala na v'chasuda. He would dance in front of the Kala and sing to her. Rav Shmuel bar Yerb Yitzchak Morachim Atlas. Now he went one up from this. He would use three branches and do like some kind of juggling act. And it's very interesting, Amar Rav Zera, who was a senior rabbi at the time, said to him one time at a wedding, Kamachsiv lan saba, you're actually embarrassing yourself. This is already too far. You're acting like a fool in front of the Chala. You're a choshev atamit chochem. And what happened is Kinach Nashe, when Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak died many years later, Ifsik amura denura ben didei lekula alma, says the Gemara, a pillar, a fire, divide, whether it's physical, spiritual, whatever, some amazing thing happened at his chasma, and it says, Ugemiri deloy ifsik amura denura ela elechad bedora, only one in a generation get this covered, or trei bedora, or maybe two in a generation. And this happened for this particular Rav, Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, and Rabbi Zera, who outlived him, was present at the funeral, and he did tshuva, and he said, "Am Rabbi Zera, ahangile shutite lasaba." It was the schus that this man had for the fire that appeared at his funeral was the olive was the myrtle branches. The amrile, and some people say actually what he said is not shutite but shtute. It was his shtus. It was his shtuyot that gave him this enormous schus. To be present, to have this fire at his funeral. And indeed the Rambam brings in source number 29 that somebody who is involved in a mitzvah himself, he brings it in terms of Erev Shabbos and says a person even Afalpi, it should say with an aleph at the front, Afalpi Shiyah Adam Choshev B'Yosei, even if a person is extremely Choshev, the Ein Darko Likas Dvarim Min Ashuk, and they don't normally go do the shopping, they have servants for that, the Loyli Tatik B'Malachas Shabbat, they don't usually clean the kitchen and clean the bathrooms, so that's not what they do. Chayev La'asoy Dvarim Shein L'Torei for Shabbos. They have to do it for Shabbos. The Gufay themselves. Shizehu Koydai. That is your covet. Don't think it's beneath you to be doing a mitzvah. Similarly, the same applies here, that the mitzvah of dancing in front of the bride, even if it is a bit silly, that's what's called for in this particular situation. One thinks of David HaMelech and the Aaron Kodesh, and how Michal turned around to him and said to him, how can you do this in front of the servants and everything? And he said to her, no, you've got completely the wrong shot. This is not how it works. It's not because of me. This is Kloy Shamayim, and therefore this is why I'm dancing in this way. Can I ask someone just to get me another cup of water? Do you mind just getting me some more water from the whatever?
A lab.
I only need one. Fine. Thank you very much. There is a limit. And Rav Vosner talks here in number 30, and he says people sometimes overdo it. There's too many people go, and it affects the yeshivas generally, and they've had to make rules. They've had to make rules, said Rav Vosner, to limit the number of people at chasms, not just because of the overdoing it, but because of the numbers which make weddings more expensive. And he said, and this is extremely important to do. And he reminds us of a halacha which sometimes people forget. Look in number 31, which is to bring a note of, thank you so much, sobriety into the wedding. He says, "Asa la'adim shimali." Shulchan Aruch says, "Asa la'adim shimali pivschayik ba'olam hazeh." A person should never fill their entire mouths with laughter in this world. In other words, there has to be a point at which a person says, "In this world, no, this world is not for completely losing it. It's not for losing and letting go." And the Taz says, "Va'afilu b'simcha shamitzvah, kegoyin b'chasna or b'purim." There have to be limits. Once it becomes wild, that's against the halacha. It's against Shulchan Aruch. At a wedding, certainly on Purim, we call Machem. You're the man is Tzchaik. You should never fill your entire mouth with Tzchaik. That's not for this world. There's a debate whether that means before the Beis Hamikdash is built or even after the Beis Hamikdash has been built. That's not for now. But this idea of a little bit of a limit, this is very critical. Where you draw the line, of course, depends on the crowd. Obviously, once people are becoming wild and drunk, that's unacceptable. There's no justification. But on Purim as well. Clearly, there's no justification for people becoming wild and drunk, and that's not for now. We can talk about that nearer to Purim. I just brought you an interesting three sources, but we're going to go on because I don't want to lose our time. I mentioned to you previously that the Shulchan Aruch brings that you're allowed to have a live band at the wedding on Friday nights of musicians, non-Jewish musicians, because he says, Yesh Matirin number 32, Loma La'akum, to ask non-Jewish band, the Nagim B'Kli Sheba Chuposa. Vafila Loma La'akum L'Takin B'Kli Sheba, even to ask them to tune the instruments, ask them to break a mitzvah directly. Shari is Mutter. Mishum kvoit chasen v'kala. Okay? Because of chasen v'kala. Because you can't have a wedding without, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down in number 33 in the middle, the ain simchas chasen v'kala, ela b'klisha. How can you have a wedding without musical instruments? Musical instruments make the whole wedding. Now, I don't know exactly how this halacha would pan out today with electronic instruments and things like that. Minhag Yerushalayim in certain parts was always, or not always, over the last 150 years or so, after the old Yishuv, was to ban musical instruments because of Zeichel Churban. And they'd have drums, and they'd have some guys singing, and things like that. Okay, everyone has to be follow their own minhag. However, it must be said that there's another side to this, which is Simchas Chosen V'Kala is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And not having musical instruments, look, everybody's happy with it, and they have like these, I think they're great, some of these like the three Hasidic guys with the microphones, and they sometimes can make even a harmony that even works. Sometimes. The truth is that it's not so poshut, and if one side, certainly if one side feels very uncomfortable with this, you know, he's a real Yerushalmi and she's from Baltimore, and they say to the Kalas, well, we'll be having these three guys singing and a guy on the drums, you know, ain't happening. And therefore, one has to weigh up minhagim, which are minhagim, against mamash mitzvahs, which are having even on Shabbos, the band, that was...
Why would it be 150 years ago?
No, because the minhag, the yeshuv, wasn't 2,000 years ago. And the minhag of not having music at the weddings is not brought in Shulchan Aruch, as far as I'm aware. It's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. It was a minhag of the old yeshuv, of Shmuel Salant and Rav Diskin and all of that. It is interesting. It's interesting also that people say, well, if you have a keyboard, that's okay, because it's just one instrument. There's no question that there were major poskim, I think Rosh Hashanah Zalman talks about it, that said that once already you're certainly out of the old city, then it's strange not to have music at the wedding, and there were many people that said you should. So, as a musician myself... Okay, it's more than a chumrah. It's actually a chumrah which could be a real kula, because don't forget, a chumrah in one area can be a very big leniency in another, and this is a doraisa. Now, a couple of other things, and then we'll finish. I brought you in number 35 the famous medrash with Chosen Domi Lamelech, and how that works, and the mitzvahs of honoring the chosen and honoring the kala, which has, you know, lots of resonances in many different ways. The simcha there, we don't say tachanun. There are even opinions that we don't say tachanun in the whole town if there's a chasna in the town that day. The idea of this being a celebration for the entire community is very strong. I brought you in 36 the concept of if God forbid there is a mace and there's a kala, so we put aside the kvura and we deal with the kala first and the kvura afterwards, because we give precedence. The Magen Avraham, sorry, the Shach, says that if you look on the third line of number 36, Achnisa lechupa, we bring the kala in before we do the burial. De la oila mitzvah sachayim koydemes le mitzvah hamesim, because life for us always takes precedence over God forbid death, and therefore a wedding is a reaffirmation of that and a very important one. I brought you a couple of sources on Sheva Brochas, number 37 and 38, very ancient sources. People trace it back already to Lavan and Rochel and Leah, and the week, she said, let's fulfill the week for this one, and then you can marry this one. And there are opinions that Sheva Brochas even themselves are Doraisa, and certainly the mitzvah of Sheva Brochas goes back to the most ancient times. Moshe Rabbeinu himself was mataken the concepts of Sheva Brochas. Was that? A long time ago. The source, the Talmud Yerushalmi, number 37. Moshe Hizkin Shevi Yemei HaMishnah. It says Moshe Rabbeinu, it gives a whole long list of different very, very early gezeiras, way before the Chazal, way before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's attributed to him that they made Sheva Brochas, because again, they bring a posik already from Bereishis, that the Sheva Brochas are there. So there is, of course, no absolute obligation to gather everybody together to make Sheva Brochas. Just saying that if there are 10 guys and they're eating bread, then you have to do Sheva Brochas. Now, wedding presents are obviously part of the whole thing. I brought here
number 39, Shekein Matinu B'Daniel, we find with Daniel from the Tanakh, Ish Chamudoy, Shehai Mit'asik B'Ngulos Chasodim, he was very involved in Chesed, Ma'im Ngulos Chasodim Shehai Daniel Mit'asik B'Hem, what was the Chesed he did? Hayim Mit'akin Es Akala O'Masamcha, he would do Simchas Chasim V'Kali, he would be Mit'akin them, so the parish is, L'Hachim Tarcheho V'Kishutak. To make sure the Kalas had what they needed, giving the Kala and Chasim, but specifically the Kala again, what they need to start off in life, is an incredibly important thing. Number 40, the Shulchan Aruch Paschal, Gabay Tzedakah Sheyesh B'Yadam, Mo Tzedakah, if the Gabay Tzedakah have extra money on their hands, Yaseu Behem B'Sulei Faniyos, the most important Tzedakah they can give it to, is to marry off poor young girls, She'ein Tzedakah G'day L'Mizay, amazing statement, there's no Tzedakah bigger than this. It's bigger than yeshivas, it's bigger than kailalim, it's bigger than normal poor people. To marry off people, we even sell a shul, we even sell a sifrei Torah. To marry off Shulchan Aruch Paskins, to marry off young women, it's so important to set them up and to be able to populate the world and to create a marriage. The last thing I want to mention here is this mitzvah of tznius, which is very interesting, because tznius is connected very much with weddings. There's a very famous pasuk in number 42. This, of course, is a pasuk in Micha. It is not the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of tznius. You ask 990 or 1,000 young people who have been learning about tznius the whole of their lives, where does it say in the Torah there's a mitzvah to be tanua? Most of them won't know. I'm not getting into that now, but they will often quote this pasuk, which, of course, is not a source in the Torah, but it is a very famous source on tznius. And if you look at what the Gemara does with that, Sneh Alechesim Elokecha, number 43, Zuhod Sasa Mitzvah Hachnasas Kalach. This is specifically applicable, this issue of tznius, to hodsasa meis, to funerals, and to hachnasas kala, to weddings, because of course they are big public occasions. And Rashi says in number 44, afsham tzarech hatznia, even there, in these situations, you have to think about tznius, lis'ay b'midah nayim, he doesn't say, you know, doesn't talk about what people are wearing so much, but he's saying, make sure the meal is done in a way which is tzanua. That you don't spend too much money on it. It's not ostentatious. It's done in a nice way. But it's ma'ach b'midanai, and the simcha is done in a nice way, not with a wildness and hoilalus and people losing their minds. But lot of hanu kalas roish ba'asmi. The issue of tzniyud at a wedding is particularly important because it has the potential to get out of hand, and out of hand means on many levels. You can get out of hand by spending too much money, and they were very conscious of that as well. It can be out of hand, and that's also not tzniyud. To have everybody dressed beautifully, but the wedding with, you know, chopped liver sculptures of the chasm and kala is like, there comes a point when already enough. I'm nothing against chopped liver, you should understand. But in some societies, that would be too much. And therefore, we see in these last couple of sources I'll leave you with, we see in a couple of interesting halachas. In number 45, also hishtakel bakala, the Shulchan Aruch brings down one has to be careful not to stare too much at the kala, or stare at all in the case. Takel means to stare in a way which is very direct. It doesn't mean you can't look at the kala. It means you can't stare at her with intent to benefit from her beauty. It says, Aval muta nistakel tachshitin shaleha, or the prius rosha. The Ramah brings down, but you're allowed to look at her hair. Which raises an interesting point. Why are you looking at the kala's hair? She's a married woman. You can't look at a married woman's hair. And it seems from many of the poskim that there are three stages in hair covering. There's before the woman gets married, and there's no dinner pair covering. There's once the woman is married, and then you have to cover her hair. And then there's a middle phase, which is she's a kala. A kala is an aishas ish with her hair uncovered, or at least largely uncovered. And therefore, for many centuries, the kala, in fact, Mishnah Mefureshes, the kala yotzeis barosha perua, the kala comes out with her hair down. There was no mitzvah for the kala to cover her hair. These days, everybody is a little bit more careful about this. Not everybody. Some people cover the kala's hair before the chuppah or even under, in the yichud room or what have you. But still, in many weddings, the kala has her hair down, has her hair uncovered. She wears a little tiara. All the time that she's got a din of a kala, meaning until she gets changed at the end of the wedding, out of a wedding dress, so she doesn't have to cover her hair like a normal married woman. And that's acceptable. That's already sort of plugged into the halacha. The last source I just want to bring you in 46, 47 and 48, you can look at yourself. I'll mention them. It's very interesting. Rav Acha Marchiv Le'akasve Umarachin. Rav Acha at the weddings used to lift the kala on his shoulders and dance around the room. Now, some people say he was on a chair, whatever, but he used to lift her up. The Amri Le'Rabbanon, and the rabbi said to him, Anan Mahu Lemi Avid Hachi? Can we do that?
I think he's not asking so much that the junior rabbis wanted to do that, but they're saying to him, like, if we did that, what would you say? And like, you dance with a kallah on your shoulders. So he answered them, Amalehim, he said to them, Idami and Alek Kshura, if as far as you're concerned, having the kallah on your shoulders feels like a beam of wood, if that's taka what it feels like to you, Lachai, then Baruch Hashem. Ve'iloi, but if not, loi. In other words, it's raising an important point, which is that contact with somebody in a physical way, if it's completely not in any way sexual in its connotation, is strictly speaking not an Isra Shomin Nagir at all. And the question is, how far do we take this? And this is really the origin of the whole concept of the mitzvah tassis. Is there a situation in which it's appropriate for somebody to dance with the kallah, you know, maybe with a handkerchief or something like this? Yes or no? Or the gartel or whatever. And I brought you 47 and 48 different meforshim from the last 300 or 400 years who've said yes, no, this is a minhag, this is not a minhag, we do this, we don't do this. And it's all about drawing this fine line between, on the one hand, creating the simcha, on the other hand, overstepping the mark. But it is clear, according to everybody, that they used to dance in front of the kallah. In fact, the source in number 48 against the mitzvah dance says Kesa Marakli Lifnei HaKala. We have to dance in front of the girl, but we don't have to dance with the girl. Okay, but it seems that dancing in front of the kala is a very important part of the wedding. And these days, in many weddings, they don't do that anymore. And many people are makted yes to do it. So dafka that they should bring out the kala, sit it with the chasen, you should dance in front of the kala. Seems that's one of the ikar kiyumim of the mitzvah of simcha to do today. So I leave you with that. Thank you for making the effort on a cold, snowy morning. I don't know what's going to be greeting us outside, but I wish you a safe journey home. Next semester, I will be teaching Be'ezrat Hashem 4 classes on the issue of Das Torah. What is it and what isn't it? And rabbinic authority, a little bit controversial maybe. So I'll be doing the first 4 classes. We'll be going through the election day. That's why I picked it. Okay.